The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Drive underway. We're back here live at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Parker Pewitt is back at the Fan Run Studios, where he's got your top four at four. Parker?
All right, so the first two many of you have already heard, but I'll repeat it for Russell and Trey. So first up, Tennessee 2020 quarterback Harrison Bailey won the quarterback MVP award at this year's Rival Camp Series. Bailey wins the award competing against many four- and five-star quarterbacks that are committed to schools such as Oklahoma, Ohio State, Southern Cal, Notre Dame, Michigan, and LSU. So it looks like the future is bright for Tennessee at the quarterback position.
Yeah, man. You got to love Harrison Bailey showing out down at these camps. Now, we're also waiting today. Haynes King, the quarterback from Texas, is scheduled to make his decision at some point today as well. So maybe we get two of these guys. And if you follow Tennessee football history the last 20-25 years, like when we sign two, usually one of them turns out to be really good. Going back to Peyton Manning, Brandon Stewart, obviously one of those guys turned out to be pretty good. Then you remember Casey Clawson and John Rattay signing in the class of 2000. Casey Clawson turned out to have a great career. Eric Ainge, Brent Schaefer obviously went well with Ainge. So usually you sign two good quarterbacks, at least one of them works out. I mean, law of averages says, you know, you don't play one quarterback at a time, somebody's going to be unhappy and transfer. But if you can get them both, that would be ideal. So we'll be keeping a watch on Haynes King out of Texas today.
All right, number two, longtime ESPN anchor and most recently the anchor for Outside the Lines, Bob Lee is retiring after 40 years of service for ESPN.
Yeah, man, a legend of the game. And, you know, not just Outside the Lines, but I think had a huge impact on American interest in soccer. I know he did for me, just that 2010 World Cup in South Africa, where, you know, he did such a good job of, I don't want to say Americanizing the game, but making it accessible for people. I just remember, like, watching him. And, you know, I always watched the World Cup, but I had no idea, like, who these guys were, what they did. I just, you know, they showed up every 4 years. Like, I thought they legitimately, the national team was, like, what they did. And then you hear Bob Lee talk about, oh, this guy plays for Manchester United, and this guy plays for, you know, Inter Milan and stuff like that. And it was, like, it was literally a foreign language. And I was like, man, I want to speak it. I want to be fluent in that. And so, like, it got me into the game on a deeper level than just the international game.
Man, that's what pissed me off so much when U.S. didn't qualify last World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, nice way to go out. You know, at least one more.
Well, Fox got the World Cup last year. And they did an okay job with it. But they're definitely going to miss his presence on the international level. He did a great job for sure.
Yeah, great.
Number three, Vanderbilt Commodores take game two of the College World Series final last night with help of Kumar Rocker, who pitched six innings, recording a College World Series record 11 strikeouts and only giving up one run. Vanderbilt went on to win 4-1. Tonight's winner takes all at 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Joe Rexroad said it best yesterday. He said what Michigan was going to do. He was going to throw. They were going to throw anything they could tonight. Last night when it came to pitchers, but then tonight they would throw Coughlin, the star, and try to win the championship. So kind of seemed like that was right last night. They really couldn't get back on track when it came to the pitching.
You're not going to update the listening audience on the fact that my Bravos pulled out the 3-2 win last night at Wrigley, evening up that four game series, Parker. You're just going to gloss over that minor detail?
No, I was going to talk about how your Cubs fell to the Atlanta Braves, but I decided
Can't
to skip for your sake. But last up, I have that it's official. Netflix will be losing The Office in January 2021. NBC plans to release its own streaming platform and will likely pull all NBC shows from Netflix. So a lot of disappointment from office fans over the past 24 hours on social media.
So all NBC shows.
2021.
What else do they have?
Parks and Rec?
I have no clue.
I've heard, you know, obviously The Office is well liked. Parks and Rec has these shows have a cult following almost. I haven't watched any of them, man. I know my wife loved The Office. A lot of people say, you got to watch it. You got to go through it. I might have to do it now, knowing that it's going to go away in 6 months.
What did you not watch? Which one?
The Office and Parks and Rec. I haven't seen either.
Wait a minute. You haven't seen The Office?
I've watched a couple of episodes. Couldn't get into it.
How could you not get in?
Didn't do it for me.
It's like I can't get into like clown movies and stuff, I guess, but.
I watched a couple episodes. Like, it was funny, but
it
wasn't like.
Why don't you go watch like episodes, like seasons like six on, where they had Robert California.
Will it be strange because I haven't seen the previous episode? Do you have to watch it all the way through, or can you just jump in?
No, I can just tell you that Jim and Pam get together.
Oh, spoiler alert.
It's not a spoiler alert. You'll figure it out by the third episode with the eye contact. I think you would enjoy it.
I know I'm in a minority. I know people are like slamming their car steering wheel right now. Curse me. Like, how can you not like The Office? It's the greatest thing. Like, it just didn't do it for me.
I'll binge watch Game of Thrones if you start watching season two of The Office.
Well, what is it? Season two or season six? You've been all over the place.
Well, I don't care. Just pick a season and start watching.
Just right in the middle anywhere?
It's good. You could literally probably start anywhere and just get the amount of laughs that you need.
Okay. Thank you, Parker. That is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by our friends right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Come on out and join us here this afternoon. We got Piping Hot Jets Pizza for you. Actually, I don't know. That might be all gone now. But we do have Smokies tickets. These are field-level seat vouchers. Very cool thing. I did this Sunday. You just walk up with your field-level seat vouchers, hand them to the friendly folks at the ticket office at Smokies Park. They'll show you the seating chart. You get to pick and sit wherever you want. We were just behind home plate, a couple of rows up, had a nice breeze. We were in the shade. It was just a lovely evening. We've got several of these left. If you swing by now, I might be able to accommodate you. 9711 Kingston Pike, where we are. I got about a dozen tickets here. 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from the Chop House in West Knoxville. I've also got Backyard Burgers, free third-pound burger coupons. You get your burger free with the purchase of any combo. These are great coupons, so swing by. We'll hook you up with some of those as well here this afternoon.
We're going like hotcakes, too. We're giving away a bunch of baseball tickets.
Come on out and see us. 9711 Kingston Pike, Old Ben Franklin Motors. We've got over 400 vehicles stocked this afternoon, ranging in price from $1,500 all the way up to $50,000. Sure to have a vehicle that suits everyone's needs, no matter what they are. Come on out, check us out. Free test drives today at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Let's get Westchester in here to start off hour number two of the show. Westchester, you're on the drive.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm good.
Not much. Hey, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Trey, that was a great interview you had a couple weeks ago last week with Vitello, until Russell hijacked it, but it still was a good interview. So thank you guys for having him on. I appreciate you addressing the closing the borders question and what all he's got to do. The one thing I will say about this station is, especially this show as opposed to some of the other ones, is y'all just aren't scared to ask the tough questions that the fans want to know. I guess that's why y'all are fan-run radio, and we do appreciate that.
Well, Russ, you can attest to this. We're not gonna step around anything. And you know what, though? Here's the good part about it. You build relationships up with these people, Russ. They respect your tough decisions.
Well, and like, my thing is, you know, what's the point in talking to some of these Tony Vitello, Kelly Jolly,
Jim English,
Jeremy Pruitt, like whoever, you know, if you're not gonna ask them, like, what? Somebody told me, you know, once when you're interviewing somebody, you gotta, there's usually one thing you want to ask them, just one thing.
Yeah.
And build your interview around that, but make sure that you get to and you ask that one question. Ask it directly. The people, like you said, Trey, the people respect you for asking the question. And as long as you do it in a manner that's, you know, not overly confrontational, like, you know, we're not going to fight about it or anything. So Keep in mind the audience, man. Ask them the tough question. You know, ask them what they want to hear.
They want us to promote their programs just as much as we want them to come on and ask that one question or two questions.
And you can't promote their program without asking that question sometimes, let's be honest. And I think they appreciate it, and I think that they want to hear it. And I think that, like you said, as long as it's respectful and it's not like, well, you suck because you can't keep your own recruits.
Right.
It's, hey, what's your plan, you know? Y'all are professionals. Y'all know what to do. But, hey, kind of got a revelation here, and I may regret saying it, but I'm going to challenge the mayor to come on board here. Look, let's let bygones be bygones, and there's a lot of us that have had problems in the past with the women's athletic program. But you know what? The women's basketball program just got fixed quicker than the football program. Do y'all realize that's a possibility?
Although the women's basketball program didn't have as far to climb up and as difficult a task in rebuilding as the football program. Football much harder.
Agreed.
Well, it's harder, but they hired a proven, being on a smaller level, they hired a proven head coach a lot faster.
But again, like, that's, it's easier
with ties to
do.
The university.
But Westchester, it's easier to do when it's the Lady Vol basketball job, and it's still considered, even though Holly struggled, it's still considered probably one of the best two or three jobs in the entire country. And when Philip Fulmer took over, and even before Fulmer, when John Curry went out, when it was trying to replace Butch, that was not the case, man.
Right.
The Tennessee football job was just not viewed as the elite job it was viewed as, say, 20 years ago.
You're right on that. You're absolutely right on that. And let's just say, though, that the I don't know. I just I guess what I'm saying here is I'm no longer anti-Tennessee basketball, women's basketball. I wish them success. I think that they're on the right track here. I think they got things going in the right direction. I think that they have a I think the age of the I'm not going to say that. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. You need a coach that can relate to these kids, because these kids are a little different this day and age than they were when Pat was coaching them. And Pat could just scare the heck out of anybody and threaten them, and they knew they had to do good. And that day and age is gone with these kids. And unfortunately, not say anything bad about Holly, but Holly was more Pat than a modern coach. And I think that that Kelly, I'm still going to call her Kelly Jolly Harper until I'm told officially I'm not allowed to, but I think she can relate to these kids. She's a little bit younger, and I think she'll do a good job here. And you know, I think she understands, and I'm not saying Ollie didn't, but I think she understands what she has to do and the pressure, and she knows what she's getting into. But I think it kills me that I'm sitting here telling you guys that there's a possibility that the women will recover so fast. And I mean, honestly, even quicker than the men did. But, you know, the men's basketball program, I mean, it's, I don't know. You know, Fulmer is the battle captain's obviously a heck of an AD, and he knows how to get some people in here, I hope. And maybe I'm saying more about Kelly Jolly Harper than I should, as far as she hasn't won a game yet. She hasn't won a practice yet. So we'll see what she does. But I think she'll be an easy one for some of us that have been away from the program to get back behind. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So as far as the College World Series goes tonight, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. My life's not going to be affected either way. I can't cheer for either of these teams. I'm just cheering for a good game. That's about all I got, guys. Have a good show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, buddy.
I just think that, you know, you set out to hire, you know, a new women's basketball coach at the University of Tennessee. I mean, would you agree with that? It used to be the best job in the country before Gino Auriemma and UConn has, you know, passed us up. Tennessee was the best job. Now, obviously, UConn is the best job, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I think that there's probably, you know, you look at South Carolina, Notre Dame, Baylor. There's a handful of other power programs that have really committed to the sport and are considered good jobs. Tennessee's still in that conversation. Like, if even if they had not decided to go back to the Pat Summitt tree, if they decided, you know what, we're going to go outside the family, bring in, you know, some fresh blood, you did have people lining up, I know for a fact, to get that job. Elite coaches in that sport. Tennessee just felt like they needed to keep it in the family. And the interest that is shown in that job, and obviously the commitment with the contract that they gave her and her husband, you know, it's important to Tennessee.
They were close to falling off the edge and being remembered just for Pat Summitt. They were close to becoming another team, just another team. And the thing that Tennessee will always have is Pat Summitt, but they were, it got to a point where a lot of people see this. Tennessee basketball, women's basketball, it's just another women's basketball team now. But they have the history with Pat. I think they, if they can turn it around pretty quickly in the next 2 years, then you escape that point. But as of right now, you're still there. And that's why Harper's going to fight her way out of, get away from that dark tunnel.
865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. You want to jump in here this afternoon on The Drive. And also talking about, I've been getting a lot of feedback about the hands-free phone law that goes into effect next week. We talked about that in the show intro today. Big Josh, of course, he is our resident trucker.
This
dude
is true.
He says that I should get the Plantronics earpiece. He says he's been through all of them.
It really sounds expensive.
It does sound expensive. The Plantronics earpiece is the way to go.
Probably get that at your Pilot Flying J or somewhere along those lines. You going to get one now? I got to catch you riding down the road or pulling into the office with an earpiece in?
I don't know, man. I've just always felt, and no offense, because I know they're popular. A lot of people use them.
No, no.
Like the guy pulls up in the earpiece, you know, hey, yeah, let's go do lunch. How my people call your? It just seems like kind of a pretentious thing to me. Earpiece guy. I don't know if I want to be earpiece guy.
So you want to be ticket guy or earpiece guy?
No, I'll gladly be earpiece guy.
You're
if that's
it up
the alternative.
And be earpiece guy then.
Well, I could also be dashboard guy.
Yeah, what the hell? Okay, all right. Do you want to be riding down the road having a talk on through the speaker? Or do you want to be able to have it, you know, in your ear where you can really hear everything going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good point.
That's a problem. I don't know. Torres will know something about it, but I mean that.
Hell, Aaron Torres, definitely earpiece guy.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely earpiece guy. I mean, I don't mean that as a in a derogatory sense, but.
Kind of came off that way, Russ.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be riding down the road July 1st with my phone in my hand. Not
then
looking at it.
Then you get $200. You can't use it. You can't. It can't be in your hand.
God,
it's a hands-free thing. You can have your earpiece in, but you got to have the phone like sitting down. You got to have both hands on the wheel. And the other part of this is
no,
like,
no, I don't both hands on the wheel anyways.
Well, you got to have. You got to be in the driving position.
I knee it.
You knee it?
Well, I'm driving down the interstate. I just use my knee.
That's so reckless.
You don't do that?
What are you doing?
Bull
not
crap.
On the interstate.
Bull crap. You don't get...
Maybe, like...
Stop it.
Once or twice. I can count in... Let's see, I'm 38, 22 years of driving. Maybe three or four times I've used my knee.
I'm talking about just riding down the road, just get the steering wheel stuck right there with the knee.
No. What are you doing, Trey? You're driving 60, 70 miles an hour with your knee? What are you, Evel Knievel over here or something?
I've got a hand close
Come
to the
on,
wheel.
Come on, Earnhardt. Get at least one hand on that wheel.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just thought that was the thing. One of the things people do.
It probably is.
Damn you, Tennessee state legislatures.
My dad used to do that.
Taking away my cell phone rights.
My dad would drive with the knee like on the back roads, like back in the day. Like,
yeah.
You know, just swerving all over the place. Like my dad said probably... the worst example as far as how to drive.
Right. And you've taken that up, it looks like.
No, I haven't. You have. I've gone the other way. I don't drive with my knees.
I'm
drive with my hands.
Pretty good driver. Besides the one wreck that I got into the week I moved to town. It's because I didn't know you're going down near downtown Knoxville.
Well, I'm
going
to knock on wood right here. I am on a terrific no-wreck street.
This is plastic.
When I started driving. I got a bunch of like fender benders as a teenager, like I guess most people probably do. I think the last accident I had, it was like my fault, probably like, it's at least 15 years ago.
I didn't know where I didn't see the red light. The red light came out of nowhere. It was hidden behind some trees, and I was
you were driving with your knee, or you're looking at your phone. Red lights don't come out of nowhere.
No, it really wasn't.
It was hidden behind a tree.
I was coming off the Henley Street exit.
Uh-huh.
So I went into the tunnel, and you know, you have to merge, and the Holiday Inn's on the right here, and then Tennessee, and then the convention center's on the corner.
Yeah.
And you go through that first light, and that second light kind of pops up out of nowhere.
You're on Henley Street, Trey. What are you doing? You tweeting while you're driving?
No.
You check Twitter while you're driving, don't you?
I do not.
You 100% check Twitter while you're driving.
No, I have an automatic update. And I downloaded an app. If I need something, it'll pop in and read it all to me. And the worst part about it is I ran into a University of Tennessee vehicle.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the worst part.
Ooh. Yeah, not good.
Can't catch me now.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we continue, Aaron Torres going to jump on the show. We'll talk to him about the Zach Smith podcast for some reason, as well as these transfer rules.
Big East.
I can't not look at I'm caught up. Actually, I'm listening to the last episode of the Zach Smith podcast.
Oh, are you?
It's fascinating. Like, he's talking about the official visits and like everything that they do, like just going through it step by step. It's really, really interesting. I hate myself for liking it so much.
Well, it sounds like a personal problem.
Stay with us. I got lots of those. It's The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this. All right, back here on The Drive, live this afternoon, Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Russell and Trey, pleased to be joined now by Aaron Torres on the show. Good afternoon, Aaron. How are you, sir?
Well, guys, I'm not going to lie. Much like last time you guys were on remote, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I'll do my best, but I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, no, not this again.
Yep, Aaron, so you can't hear us really well, buddy?
Yeah, I would say you guys are at, like, if 10 was my ears are bleeding because you're so loud, I'd put you at about a 0.5 to 0.7 right now.
Well, let's try this again tomorrow.
Okay, yep. We'll try to get a bar, Aaron.
All right, fellas. Have a good afternoon. I'm sorry, guys. Thank you.
So,
We just took a phone call.
Oh, no.
We've had a great run.
Yeah,
I agree. No technical difficulties.
Maybe I should just have Aaron call the studio and see if it works.
Try them on a different line. No, I don't want to do that, man. No, we're not going to use the airways like a
guinea pig. Bag.
No.
Yep.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, no kidding. I had a big special guest lined up for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know.
I guess we can open the phone lines here, and if, you know, we'll try it, but if... Golly, man, that's really frustrating. 865-546-8200.
Quality control.
Your number to get on the show, 546-82. It's not Parker's fault.
I mean, it's not.
It's the phone gremlins, and of course, they would happen right before we go to a guest. Of course.
Tends to happen.
Yeah. It's the Murphy's Law in effect here this afternoon.
Somebody came out earlier, one of our listeners, and they were like, they're going to see, you know, I said, go see Toy Story. And they wanted to go see Aladdin. How can you pick Aladdin over Toy Story? I get it was the wife's choice. I'm sorry, that's been bugging me for about an hour and a half.
Well, evidently. I was going to say, what does that have to do with the fact that our phone lines don't work?
Well, I don't know. I know that we've had some visitors come by, and God bless them. I would I'd rather see Buzz.
You would go? Yeah, I would too. But
I don't want to see Will Smith.
It's part of being on a date, Trey. You do what the woman wants
to
say. Well,
I get that part of it, but still.
I mean, it's like...
What's the last
90% of dates in America are men going to see movies they have no interest in seeing?
You know what I was really pissed off about 3 months ago, 4 months ago? Mm-hmm. I fell asleep during the movie The Mule with Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper. Yep, in the theater.
Ugh.
It was boring to me. But then I go back and watch it, and I thought it wasn't going to be boring again, and it was still boring to me.
Well, I remember seeing the previews and thinking that looked really good. And I haven't thought about that movie since I saw those previews.
Yeah.
So that tells me that it was a little overhyped.
Yeah, and Eastwood directed it, and Bradley's in it, and, you know, it's a good storyline, I guess. A good plot, but I fell asleep. My dad was in there, my uncle, and they kind of looked at me, and I could tell I was snoring, and I got the nudge, and I was like, wait, what? What? And they're like, you're asleep. And I was like, no, I'm not. I can tell you what's happening right now. He's running drugs. And he was a gardener.
I still want to see it.
Boring. What's the last movie you've seen in a theater? Free Solo?
Boy, I was thinking about that. It might be Free Solo.
Can I say that is now on Hulu for all you folks who want to watch it, or Amazon Prime?
You missed it on the big screen. You got to go see that in the theater.
I know. I should have.
Were your hands sweaty watching it?
Yeah, I was tripping, bro. Yeah, that movie freaked me out a little bit. Not going to lie.
You know what's weird to think about that guy? I've been following him since before that movie came out.
Yeah,
so
I've seen
really
him do some other stuff,
it.
Yeah.
Alex Honnold. The thing is, there's pretty high likelihood that he's going to die doing that. Because,
oh, he's going to die.
Because they talk about that in the movie. Like, everybody who's ever done that is dead.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, you're climbing up a mountain with no ropes. You're going to fall. And you're going to die. And so he's become famous now. He's probably the most famous mountain climber since Sir Edmund Hillary, first guy to ascend Mount Everest. And he's going to fall off a mountain and die. And, like, we're not going to hear about it probably. He might be famous enough now that, like, it'll be immediate news. Like, you'll hear about it that day.
It won't be seen in breaking news, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, but before that movie came out, like, if he had passed away, like, in the filming of that movie, it would have been one of those things where you hear about, like, a month later, it's like, oh man, that guy died, oh well.
You know what a lot of people don't think about when they're watching these movies, bro? The guys that are actually filming it hanging off the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. But they're on ropes.
I get that, but they also have to track all that way up there, climb that mountain just to find the perfect spot, and also they don't want to get into his sight line where they're screwing him up, too. So you got these guys hanging off the side of a mountain with $500,000 worth of equipment, and they're also climbing up with him. Like, that's the thing that people don't realize. I'm sure people realize it, but you don't think about that as you're watching him climb El Capitan, that there's two or three guys that are hanging around somewhere. And then they rolled into one guy in a bunny suit, just sleeping up on the side of the mountain. I mean, who does that?
Mountain climbers are an eclectic bunch.
I love it. I mean, I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong.
Make you want to go climb a mountain?
Makes me want to go climb a hill. Makes me want to go, like, to the Smoky Mountains and climb, like, a creek.
Just go on a little nature stroll?
Yeah, I'll be damned. Yeah, I don't know if there's enough money in the world that I could be hooked up to something, too. I'm not saying that I'm athletic enough in any way to climb up any kind of mountain, but my buddy does
Mount LeConte. Have you done Mount LeConte?
Yeah.
It takes a couple of hours, but you get up there, man.
My buddy does climbing. He has a pad that he lays down on the ground in case he falls a good 20 feet, something like that.
A pad?
He falls onto a pad.
Like, how big of a pad are we talking about here?
Probably the size of this table.
Like, that? That's all?
Yeah.
That's like a twin mattress.
Yeah.
He's 20 feet in the air?
Yeah. If he falls, something like that. He's down in Birmingham. They have a couple mountain little areas where you can go climb. And if he falls straight onto the mat. I've seen a video of it. It looked like it hurt like hell.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
No. Me neither.
I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, until you fall to your bloody death.
You know what also I think it'd be fun, though, is just going on a road trip like he does. Lives out of his van, had good Wi-Fi signal, be able to broadcast anywhere and everywhere. Talk college football, talk college basketball from, like, Yellowstone or, you know, the state of Washington somewhere, working on some hemp field. Just talk some college football.
The hemp field?
Yeah, from the hemp
field. I'm not a grass expert.
Did you see, we talked about it earlier, the HBO Real Sports last night with the Barstool piece, which is getting a lot of pub. Like, that was interesting, and and all that stuff. I get Barstool Sports is a controversial outlet.
I heard the big thing is they left out the female reporters, besides the CEO, Erica Nardini.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the stuff they do is, in, you know, obviously in poor taste, but I'll admit it. Barstool is a regular hit on my show prep to do list, and go through there and see what's going on.
I listen to their podcast.
Really?
I don't read this stuff because usually I've seen this stuff.
Well, I don't listen to. I guess, is it Pardon My Take? Is one of the most popular, if not the most popular, sports podcast going in terms of number of downloads. I've heard it before. It's pretty good. It's not something that I listen to regularly, but you know, that's a little bit different. Like when I heard it, they're not as controversial as some of the stuff that's gotten them in trouble. But anyway, the thing I was going to bring up, speaking of growing hemp, Don Nelson,
my man,
Nelly, the former head coach of Golden State and
the Mavericks
for a while, legendary NBA basketball coach. They did like a profile on him, and he's a very interesting dude.
He smokes a lot of marijuana.
A lot. He's got a island. I don't know if he lives on Maui in Hawaii.
Probably owns part
and he's
of
got
island.
Like he's got long hair now, which is weird because they show like footage of him playing in the 60s with the Celtics, and he's got the crew cut. He looks like Chris Mullin. And then, of course, in the 80s and 90s when he was a coach, you know, he's over there in a three-piece suit looking all slick and everything. Now he looks like the dude.
He looks like
Big Lebowski.
Looks like Raleigh from Going Clear.
Yeah, and he's just on this island. He's got his medical marijuana certificate. He can grow as much as he wants, and he does, and he sits around and smokes a lot of reefer and plays a lot of poker.
Millions of dollars, man. He's good. He's set for life.
That's what you can do.
Just chill out on the island. What'd you do today? Nothing. I played cards and I smoked. Oh, okay. Sounds like a good day.
Got a guy saying that the guy in the bunny suit on
Free Solo
was a protester.
No way.
He says that rock climbers don't like bringing attention to their world like a film crew. So they were protesting the fact that he was up there with the film crew.
They didn't even know what freaking day he was going to climb.
Well, they see him out there, and he's with the film crew, and they're scouting and everything. They might have been able to get an idea.
Well, it seemed like by the documentary, he just walked by and said, "Hey, excuse me, I need to get by. I'm not hooked up to anything here. If you could just let me scoot right on by."
The mountain climbing community apparently doesn't. I didn't know that was a thing. They don't like to be outsiders to invade their personal space.
I mean, what? How you get okay?
Yeah,
yeah. I that's true.
Well, that's like the Appalachian Trail. There's that great book, A Walk in the Woods.
That's
Bill
a great
Bryson.
Movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie.
Funny movie.
When that book came out, the percentage of people hiking the Appalachian Trail skyrocketed by like several, like 200 or 300%. They had like 3 or 4 times as many people doing the AT as before his book came out. I'm sure the movie increased it as well. And a lot of like the close-knit, like the hardcore hikers, the hiking community did not like that because they weren't prepared. You know, the national park resources weren't prepared to deal with that influx of people. And so you started to have some of the problems with the trail and trash and things like that. So like that was brutal, you know. It's like, well, you want to bring attention to this natural wonder of ours and
right.
This beautiful trail that we have that, you know, people can get active and get in touch with nature and go on this, you know, spiritual quest or whatever that the Appalachian Trail becomes. But on the other hand, when you get too many people on there, does it lose some of the novelty?
I would say yes. And you know what? The way the movie was portrayed as well with Robert Redford and Nick Nolte, I thought it was really well done. They filmed it in parts of Georgia, North Carolina. I mean, up down the Appalachian
Trail.
But
you see, like, everybody can climb Mount Everest now. That used to not be a thing.
Yeah, but more people are dying on Everest. I'm not taking my chances on Everest. Sorry, not.
You wouldn't do it?
Hell no. There's too many people dying in the summit for even to make it near the top.
Even if you had supplemental oxygen.
If I'm going to die on Everest, I want to die on top. I don't want to die in the summit down there at the bottom looking up at it.
The summit is not at the bottom. Summit is the top.
Well, no. I'm sorry.
Get your terminology straight, Trey.
You know
Come
what
on.
I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. They were in the camps. I'm sorry, the camps.
Base camp, yeah.
Yeah, they were dying near base camp.
So you got base camp. I think there's like camp 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the summit.
Did you know? I'm going to throw some trivia on you.
Okay.
You ever see the movie Everest?
It's
the movie about Everest. You ever see that one?
I've seen several.
It's the studio film one.
I saw the one that was based on John Krakauer's book, Into Thin Air.
No, that's okay. No, I'm talking about the movie. It's literally called Everest. Is it?
No, I don't know. I don't think I've seen it.
Pretty good movie.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good movie. Came out probably 3-4 years ago. Very surprising role in there. All of a sudden, they don't promote it. They don't anything along the line. But Jake Gyllenhaal is a main character in the movie.
Okay.
Just some trivia for you. I thought you'd seen the movie. I was setting you up there to see if you remember the Jake Gyllenhaal part.
No, I don't remember the Jake Gyllenhaal part in the movie that I didn't see.
Well, damn it, you need to watch it. Enough. It's a good movie.
865-546-8200. Don't you number me out of Everest. 546-8200 if you want to jump in here on The Drive and Fox Sports Knoxville. We got to take a quick time out, try and get our phone situation straightened out here, hopefully. And we'll be back with more live today. Old Ben Franklin Motors, stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
I'm ready.
All right, back here on The Drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville live. Old Ben Franklin Motors, where we are in West Knoxville. Come on out and see us, folks. This portion of our show brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Check out the Good Life checking account. Citizens National Bank wants to reward you with a new experience that is simply beyond banking. You can expand your mind, your well-being, and your social circle. Take fun trips, see the world, have a blast. It's not just a checking account, it's a lifestyle, the Good Life checking account. For more information, find them online at cnbtn.com. That's cnbtn.com, or just call 865-453-9031.
So, Russell.
Yes.
You know, you have been very back and forth on your baseball teams.
Call me wishy-washy?
Yeah, I'm calling you a Volcat.
Careful now.
Well, I know that. And sometimes it gets to that point.
Do I have to walk you through this again? I'm a legitimate fan of both teams.
Okay, well, I have some really good news for you. Just got a text message from a buddy of mine.
Okay.
On Friday, get all your Braves questions ready. We'll take some questions from fans out there as well from the Braves. We are going to have play-by-play announcer for the Braves, Chip Carey, join us 3:20 on Friday.
Chip Carey. You know, we were watching the series that's going on right now in Chicago. My wife was down there, and I was telling her about, you know, this is Chip Carey, and he's Skip Carey's son, who was Harry Carey's son. And she's like, so he basically got the job just because of his last name. I was like, well, probably, but he is good. It's hard to hold it against him and say, nepotism or whatever, because he is good, and Skip Carey was good. And so I was telling her about this, and I went back, and I'm listening to – I found the Braves radio network call of the final half inning, the bottom of the ninth of the 1992 NLCS Game 7 against Pittsburgh that we were talking about yesterday on the show. And I feel like a cheese ball for admitting this, but I'm listening to that with basically tears in my eyes. I remember listening to that. Like, my parents wouldn't let me stay up to watch the game, and so I'm in bed listening.
Oh, really?
I'm in bed listening to it on my radio. And, you know, here comes Francisco Cabrera up. And Barry Bonds, for all his accomplishments, couldn't throw out a gimpy Sid Bream on a weakly hit ground ball to shallow left center field. Never forget that, and gentlemen. So that'll be cool. We'll have Chip on and talk to him about the Bravos.
So we'll open up the mailbag tomorrow. We'll do two or three questions from fans.
We'll that's all? Just two or three?
Well, I don't know. Hell, we can do three or four. We're going to be talking to him from New York. So,
are they playing the Mets this weekend?
Yeah.
All right. So that'll be fun coming up on Friday. I'm if you want to jump in now, go ahead and take a shot. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. So, FanDuel.
Yeah.
Is the latest sports book to release SEC win total predictions that you can bet on. Bear would be thoroughly confused by this, but most of you probably get it. Here, first of all, they've got us at 6.5 again. Somebody had us at 6.5 yesterday, right?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was 6.5 yesterday. So they're working on it.
So this seems to be where Tennessee's settling in, which, I mean, you know, at least – The bottom rung prediction is still 6-6 in a bowl game. I think that's about right. I mean, if I were an odds maker, I would probably set it at 6.5 too. Alabama and Georgia are top of the crop there. No surprises there. Both the Tide and the Bulldogs predicted at 11 wins. Florida and LSU at 9.
LSU at 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting one for me.
Mississippi State at 8.5.
Mercy.
Is Mississippi State the fifth best team in the league?
I'm going through these right now.
That's not good for us, considering they come here. That's a big swing game.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty crazy.
Auburn at 8.
Does 8 wins keep Gus Malzahn's job? Your opinion?
I think it probably depends on how those 4 losses come about.
That's a good darn point.
You know,
come late in the year to Georgia and Alabama, and
if it's LSU, A&M, Bama, do they play? Yeah, Georgia. If those are the 4 losses and they're competitive, I'd say he has a good chance. I don't think he can lose any other games. You know, if he goes 7-5 and one of those losses, Mississippi State or Arkansas or something like that, then yeah, that might be all the excuse they need to get rid of him.
How hot would his seat be if they rolled down to Dallas the first weekend of the season and got beat by Oregon?
Wouldn't it be a good start?
The reason I asked this, because I was kind of setting that up a little bit, it would remind me of a guy coming back that they technically maybe didn't want, but they had to deal with because of a buyout. Reminds me of Les Miles in LSU when he came back the next year and they fired him, what, 3 or 4 games in?
Well, you've got all these great coaches who are just getting Sabined out of the league right now. And I think Gus Malzahn is a great coach.
I do too.
But he's in Saban's shadow, just like every other coach in that division, just like every other coach in this league. And he probably will get fired, if not this year, then in the future. And the question you got to ask yourself if you're Auburn is, okay, we're going to run Gus Malzahn. Who are we going to get, man? Who's out there that's going to come to Auburn and is going to take on that task with that demanding fan base, knowing that anything less than 10 wins is viewed as, you know, some sort of unacceptable season down there? Maybe Lane Kiffin is about the only guy I can think of that would be willing, you know, you want to go ahead and, you know, I don't think Urban Meyer is going to take that job.
Bob Stoops.
I don't think Bob Stoops is going to take that job.
Remember last year he was tied to it?
Yeah, he didn't want it, though, man. He's going to coach in the XFL and have some fun. I think he's done. If you're Bob Stoops, man, why would you go to Auburn?
I agree.
If I'm Bob Stoops and I'm coming back, I'm going to Ohio State, USC, Florida, like one of the can't-miss jobs.
You're saying there. Auburn, though, is a – I think Auburn's top 4 job in the SEC.
Depends on who you are. Like, for Gus Malzahn, yeah, because he's a coach in that state.
I mean, if you just take a broad look back at it, you know, who would you say? We'd start off with Bama. We'd probably go with either – and I'm talking money and complexes and everything involved. Mm-hmm. Probably go with LSU second, Georgia third.
Florida
didn't have a capable indoor practice facility.
Yeah, but it's still one of the best jobs in the country because you've got so much talent.
So how far are we throwing Auburn now? Maybe 6 or 7 then?
I mean, I would have Bama, Florida, LSU, Georgia, probably Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah, Texas A&M's up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we're talking sixth at best.
But so again, then you go look at the coaches that would...
It depends on who you are, though. Because if you're from Alabama, like, and I'm just spitballing here, but this Chip Lindsey guy who goes down to Troy, if he blows up... You know, the Auburn job is going to be more attractive to him than it would be to Bob Stoops.
Okay, here's something for you.
Because he doesn't have any Alabama ties. Well, okay. There's no reason for a guy like Bob Stoops to go and take on that challenge.
I had this conversation with somebody the other day on campus. Jeremy Pruitt comes out and gets himself 8 wins this year, and Gus Malzahn's fired at Auburn. Is Jeremy Pruitt going to go take the Auburn job? Would Jeremy Pruitt entertain the Auburn job? He's from Alabama, a bunch of friends from that state of Alabama. His whole core is from Alabama.
I have no idea. I mean, but he's an Alabama guy. Like, would that would he switch sides of that rivalry?
He's got Auburn sides of his group too.
But we get back to this again, and here's the point: if you're gonna fire Gus Malzahn, you can't replace him with Jeremy Pruitt, who
would at that
point have been what 13-12. In 2 years at Tennessee, that ain't gonna fly. That is not an upgrade.
I'd go get James Franklin. See if he'd leave Penn State.
I mean, would he? You get Penn State rolling, you're gonna go down there and bang heads with Saban. I mean, that seems like a big step down.
Where are you gonna win a conference title easier at?
Penn State.
Okay, but where are you gonna win a conference title easier at in the next 4 to 5 years?
Penn State.
If Nick Saban somehow retires and maybe two.
So you're going to go down, you're going to leave Penn State where you got it rolling, take on Auburn, take the Auburn job on the off chance that Nick Saban might retire?
No, I mean that in a way of if the opportunity presented itself and he could see himself there 15 to 20 years, would you take that risk?
No, I mean, you know, he's at a point now, Frank, and this is the challenge Auburn had. Nobody's going to take that risk. Nobody, a great coach in a good job is not going. He's not looking to take risk.
I agree with that.
Like you want to either improve your position or maintain whatever success you have.
Bigger point, I guess, is Russ. When Nick Saban leaves the league, how many big time coaches are going to be flocking to the SEC to try to take over?
Position. It'll be a game changer.
Right.
The SEC. The door is going to be wide open. The question is, who walks through it first? Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fox Sports. We're number 3 of the show coming up.